Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, April 9th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 49, the second paragraph. We who have traveled, and we're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are France N, who will be reading the 12 steps, Carol F will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Betsy H, Julie E.B., and Sherry K.B. The share ID for Thursday, April 8th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,731. That's 16731. This morning's Friday, April 9th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time share ID is 16,736. That's 16736. Our newcomer greeter for today is Lois P, and Robin P will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask France N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, France.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. My name is France N. I'm from Lillian, Alabama, and I'm very grateful to be doing service this morning. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, France N. And Carol F., if you read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Yes. Good morning, Kathleen, and everyone on the line. I'm Carol F., compulsive overeater, food addict in recovery from Maryland. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Somebody's unmuted. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, a public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Carol F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that you keep your sharing, does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 49, the second paragraph that begins with, "We who have traveled," and Betsy H., if you could get us started, please.
Thanks, Kathleen. Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. "We who have traveled this dubious path beg you to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. We have learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths may be, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. People of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatever. We used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves." Okay, this is an interesting paragraph. I can totally relate because I've definitely judged different religions and different religious people at, you know, different times. And it's not that this paragraph is saying that we have to go join a religion. It's just about being willing to believe that a power greater than myself can fix my food problem, can help me with my food addiction, and can give me recovery today. And some people will join a religion and some people won't. Some people will be agnostic. Some people will be atheists. Even people who join religions, it'll be all different ones. Even people within the same religion will have like totally different ways of doing it probably, and different, slightly different conceptions of their higher power. So it's saying here, I like what it says at the end. It says spiritually minded people have a lot more stability, usefulness, and happiness in their lives. And to me, that's like the opposite of what I have when I'm in my active food addiction. I have no stability. I'm very emotionally unstable, just emotions up and down, and life going up and down, and problems with people and disagreements. and then happiness is not there at all. Maybe that fleeting happiness of the first 8 seconds after eating that binge food, but beyond that 8 seconds, it's just a lot of misery. And then usefulness, I'm not very useful at all when I'm in my food addiction active, because I'm just obsessing about myself and what diet can I get on, and I can't believe I ate that, and how can I control my food and be perfect from now on, and how can I fix my weight and look at those people who are so mean to me and my resentments and my fears. So it's kind of a nice little reminder here that, you know, if I, all I have to do is to be willing to believe that there is some power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity around food and actually in every area of my life. And then I can have, yeah, I work the steps, put down the food. I can have more stability, happiness, and usefulness. I found this to be true for myself, and definitely it works. You know, I've seen it in a lot of people too. And it is a nice feeling to be more stable, happy, and useful. It's a better feeling, actually. And with that, I think I will pass.
And thank you, Betsy H., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we are on page 49, the second paragraph. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Tita D. from New York.
Elena P.
Okay,
Jody
E. Hold on. You came in all so fast. So I heard someone with a T come in before Christina J. Who was that?
Elena C.
Tita D. from New York.
Kita D. Okay. Virginia. And then I heard Christina J, Elena C, Jody E, and who just came in?
Virginia.
Alice
C.
A.
Okay,
Patricia,
let's stop
C.
there. Virginia, Alice. Okay, I'm gonna put you in here too, Patricia. Okay, I did not get all the last initials. Patricia, what was your initial? You've muted. Okay, Virginia and Alice, I don't have yours either, but we'll get them. Okay, so I have Kita D, Christina J, Elena C, Jody E, Virginia, Alice, and Patricia. So go ahead, please, Kita. Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Kita D from New York, recovering compulsive overeater. So in my experience, in my faith, I had an amazing salvation experience with Jesus, you know, and that was a great moment in my life. And I didn't realize that my food was something that he cared about until the day that I couldn't stop eating and I cried so hard and I heard this still small voice say, "You find more comfort in ice cream than you do in me." And it was very gentle voice, and I knew it wasn't my inner voice. And I was like, wow, that's quite an epiphany. I didn't want that to be true. And so God led me to the rooms of OA and additional recovery paths. And I'm so thankful that I could admit my life was unmanageable because of compulsive eating. And I just want to say thank you to everyone on this line. Today's kind of bittersweet for me. I started coming Monday, February 15th, and today is my last day. I've been out with a broken ankle, and I'm going back to teach my sixth graders on Monday, so I won't be able to come to a live vision call again until summertime, but I can't tell you how much this fellowship has just poured love on me. I know that that's why I haven't eaten alcoholic foods, flour and sugar for me, since Tuesday, February 16th, and I just wanted to claim my seat and say, if you don't hear me, it's just because I'm back to work, and I will miss you all dearly, but I know that there are the recordings as well. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Kita D. from New York, and good having you on the line with us live while you could. Okay, Christina J., you're up, followed by Elena C. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Christina J. from the state of Washington, grateful to be recovered today, just for today. So just getting a little context here with the previous paragraph. We who have traveled this dubious path beg you to lay aside prejudice. So prejudiced against this higher power thing, you know, that tells us in step two and three that we need to believe in something greater than ourselves, that we are going to make a decision maybe to turn our will and our lives over to the care of something bigger than us. Some people call it God. It does mention God in step three. So this is a crux. This is a crux of the program. It's like we can't move forward into the work, to the action steps of 4 through 12, unless we find a way to lay aside prejudice, to lay aside our doubt, our hesitation. And this is what dubious means, even against organized religion. So when I was younger, I had a weirdly confusing situation. I had a mother who believed in God and took us to church on a regular basis, and there's where I found freedom and a beautiful sense of belonging and a love that I experienced when I went to church and a big emotional release. But yet then we went back to a life that was full of confusion and emotional abuse and physical abuse and sexual abuse, and there was just these two worlds colliding with each other, and no one was teaching us how to surrender that strange fear and all those emotions, and it was just about controlling and moving forward and getting relief in church, but yet going back out into this life. I mean, it was just really confusing. And so I learned to be stubborn. I learned to have a big ego and to control, to be cynical, and I just didn't understand those happy Christian people out there. I learned to have judgment against them because I saw a lot of prejudice in the churches. But yet here was this God that gave me relief and love. And this is the thing in program. Somehow we've got to lay aside everything we think we know. This is where that big, beautiful set-aside prayer comes. They're begging us to lay aside prejudice so we can move forward in the program and to find this happiness and this degree of stability and usefulness that this program teaches us about. I really never had anything before this program, these 12 steps, that taught me how to get to that. It was all confusing to me, sure, and I've spoken about this before. I did many spiritual circles, many spiritual retreats, many just all kinds of stuff, seeking for relief from myself, from the food, from what was wrong with me. I just couldn't put two and two together. But what happened, for those that are new out there, this program, these 12 steps, give me action steps to take to get to that place of happiness and usefulness and stability, and it works. But I have to lay aside my prejudice. I have to be able to move through step two to at least believe in something, that just take a faith that there's going to be something bigger than myself. And then step three, to believe in that and to move forward into the action steps, just to have. Okay, great, thank you. I want to read something really quick here that it's in the AA 12 and 12, AA for today. These things are but phantoms, arise from earth's bonds, from depression, distrust, fear, and all that hinders your new life. Arise to beauty, joy, and peace, and work inspired by love. Rise from death to life. That's what this program offers. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. in Washington. Elena C., you're up, followed by Jody E. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning for all the, thank you for all the comments, and thank you for moderation. Thank you, moderator. I have this paragraph highlighted, almost all of it, and I guess it was this paragraph deepened my relationship with my higher power, but not only that, but has helped me accept people around me with their own relationship of their higher power. I grew up in a household where religion was shoved down my throat, and as a result, I have developed prejudice, judgment against it. I didn't want to hear it, you know, like prejudice is to assume something before you know something about it. And what I like about this paragraph is that it's, you know, it doesn't matter. Even against organized religion, it highlights all the positives that even an organized religion can bring about to people. Because we we, agnostics, used to have no reasonable conception whatever. And then we learned that whatever human frailties of various faiths may be, whatever, you know, whatever failures they have, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. That's amazing. You know, and who am I to judge whether there's Jehovah's Witnesses or, you know, whether there's Muslim or no matter what that brings positive to people. And it brings a sense of community. Religion brings a sense of community. And then it lets me decide whatever I choose to be the God of my understanding. It could be the God of my childhood. It could be somebody else's that I heard in, you know, in my life. It could be another person that I heard in my meetings, or it could just be whatever I decide. And, you know, like the God of my understanding has no gender for me. It's just an energy of peace, calm, compassion, you know, a positive energy that's healing, that goes with me. It's in and around and goes with me wherever I go. And I need to turn towards, not away. I need to turn towards this energy in order to activate it. But even if I am turned away, it's still there and somehow still takes care of me. And so that's how all people, all races, colors, and creeds demonstrate a degree of stability. That's how I demonstrate a stability, happiness, and usefulness in my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena C. Jody E., you're up, followed by Virginia. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in California. So this paragraph was speaking to the person who is prejudiced against the idea of a higher power, perhaps, or religion. That wasn't me. I sort of accepted with childlike faith the religion of my childhood. I didn't ever really question it. However, I certainly turned to food for comfort rather than to my religion or my higher power. And I didn't develop a relationship with God. And I, as I turned to food, I became more and more unstable, unhappy, and useless. And until I was so desperate and so depressed that through the grace of God, I found Overeaters Anonymous, which I believe God brought me to. And now looking back over my life, I see that God was there all the time, even speaking to me, bringing people into my life, bringing experiences into my life that helped to guide me back from the food to a better way of life. And I'm so grateful for that. My conception of God is not distinct. It's not really that clear even. It's mysterious. It's awesome. It's definitely loving and beneficent. But beyond that, it's rather mysterious to me. Nevertheless, I can develop it through prayer and meditation and through working all of these 12 steps, including step one, which is entire abstinence. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. in California. Virginia, you are up, followed by Alice. And if I could get your first initial, please, Virginia.
Virginia T. from Georgia.
Thank you.
I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater, and
I have actually devoted much of my life to serving in faith-based nonprofit organizations, and I think that I have seen people so much who've been hurt by organized religion and have turned against that, and I think that I have certainly been disillusioned myself, and I think I still have followed my faith even in that, but I certainly have been hurt and disillusioned by people claiming faith, and so I'm really sometimes I found it best just to apologize for the damage that has been done by people speaking out in the name of their faith, and I hurt for the people that have been hurt by that, but I also have seen so much good come out of it, and I know friends in my state have been recently hit by tornadoes, and it's the organized religion that's out there helping them for the most part. So for that, I'm grateful, but I had a hard time sometimes applying my faith to my problems with food and seeing how it related to that. And I'm just grateful to be able to put it together with my whole faith and the understanding of God, my higher power, and in that to find stability, happiness, and usefulness. So thank you.
Thank you, Virginia T. in Georgia. Alice, you're up, followed by Patricia. And the first initial of your last name, please, Alice.
Hi, thank you. This is Alice A. from Alabama, a grateful recovering compulsive eater. Coming into OA, you know, reading these first few chapters, we're asked to set aside prejudices. Here again, we're asked to set aside prejudice with organized religion. As a child, I had a religious upbringing, but I always felt it was do this, don't do that. I didn't feel a spiritual connection with the God of my youth. And even though I rebelled as a teenager and a young adult, as my parents would say, I still felt I had a belief in God. I just wasn't sure of the definition of God. I like the sentence in here, people of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. And then it goes on to say that also they demonstrate a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness, which we ourselves sought. Now that I have an understanding of who my God is, which I think aligns with my religious beliefs, I now see that when I talked of people in organized religion as being hypocrites, wasn't I being just as intolerant, as judgmental as I thought they were? Today, my spiritual journey includes a higher power, a God of my choosing, and I hope anyone reading this chapter will be open to finding their own higher power and start their own spiritual journey. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice A. in Alabama. And before we take Patricia, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 49, the second paragraph that begins with "We who have traveled." And I'll be taking some more names to share on this paragraph after Patricia. So good morning, Patricia. And what's the initial of your last name?
This is Patricia C. C as in cat is the last initial of my last name, in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I just had so many thoughts racing through my head about all of this stuff and listening to everyone. But the big thing that really stuck out to me was stability. So I actually had a religious experience when I became a Christian when I was 17, and I worked with somebody who was actually, she'd just gotten kicked out of China for smuggling Bibles. And I was like, okay, I'm in, because I loved that it was like you could have purpose, and it was risky, and it was exciting, and all of those things. And she was very loving and accepting and, you know, forgiving, and so I hadn't really experienced a whole lot of before. But then, you know, as I grew, I realized that, like, I was very impulsive. And I think when I think about that word stability, I think about Bill's story and the beginning of that, where I remember reading the first few times, actually, it took me years, reading the first few times the beginning of Bill's story and his life, and it's kind of laying out how his life was, and we can see parallels amongst ourselves, but I didn't see anything wrong with that. All I could see was the good. Like, I was like, oh, it sounds like he's living the dream. Like, he's taking all these risks, and he's, like, all in, and I just couldn't see the ego. I couldn't see a lot of it, and how my brain was wired like his, but I still couldn't see the downside, and it took me a lot of crashes and burns to get to that point where I could kind of see that and see how, you know, when I first was, before I, you know, became a Christian, when I was a teenager, I could see I was very judgmental, and I saw, you know, people who are religious as very judgmental, fearful, and just very, like, stodgy people, and I don't want to be any of those things. But now, as I've been recovered for almost a year now, I can see the good in the stability and how those people were actually very helpful. And I was the most fearful of all, and I love to take risks when I was something that I didn't mind being scared of, you know, that it was exciting to be scared of, as opposed to, like, applying for a job I really want, you know, like that kind of fear I never really gave over. So anyway, those are some of my rambling thoughts, but thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Patricia C. in North Carolina. Okay, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days and you'd like to share on page 49, the second paragraph, we who have traveled, I'm ready for some names.
Sherry KB.
Mo H.
Sherry KB, and I think I heard Mo H. And who after Mo?
Bruce E.
Felicia.
Annabelle Z.
Felicia. Who before Anna? Felicia. What was your initial, Felicia?
V.
B as in boy. And Anna B, was that Anna B?
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle Z. I've got part of it written down. Thanks. Okay, and anyone else? Okay, we'll stop there then.
Diane B.
I have Sherry and Diane B. Okay, hi Diane. Okay, so I have Sherry KB, Mo H, Bruce E, Felicia, I didn't get your initial, Annabelle Z, and Diane B. So go ahead, please, Sherry. KB.
Good morning, Kathleen. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, Kathleen, being here this morning. And our team Friday, yay. So here we go. First, you know, dubious. It does mean uncertain, questionable, debatable. And as which was mentioned before, this is a part of, we've heard about the set-aside prayer, and it's throughout this in the We Agnostics. And here's one of them right here when it says, lay aside your prejudice. And so for me, my experience of having grown up in the South, in the Bible Belt, with trying to be, somebody was always trying to save me. I had some bad experiences growing up as a kid. Somebody trying to tell me if I didn't believe this, I'd go to hell and all this other stuff. So I had a chip on my shoulder when I came into OA. And the minute I saw the word God, I'm like, I'm out of here. And, you know, the interesting part is I stayed, and I've had some of the most wonderful experiences due to OA, learning about spirituality. And so it talks about the people of faith have, you know, been given purpose and direction. And, you know, I learned through the 12 steps, and that has been the most spiritual experience I've ever had, is doing these steps, frankly. And, you know, it helps me to get God-directed. And what is God-directed? What is my purpose? Is to fit myself to be of maximum service to the people about me. And I didn't know that coming in here. I didn't know that. I didn't know it for years. And I love where it says that, you know, spiritually minded people of all race, colors, and creeds. And creeds means religious beliefs and any set of beliefs. So here we are under one roof with different people of different backgrounds, different religions, different, you know, everything, and we come together. I mean, that is powerful. That is one of the most powerful things I think 12-step programs are about. And I'm just grateful that I stayed around. And, you know, there's still stuff that goes on when people still try to do that sometimes. But, you know, I've got enough 12-step recovery under my belt that I don't take it personally. And I'm really grateful for it. And I'm grateful to my higher power. And I just want to say thank you, God, for 82 years tomorrow that this big book came into be published in 1939. It was on April 10th, 1939. Thank you, Alcoholics Anonymous, and thank you to this big book, and thank you all, and I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry KB in California. And Mo H., good morning. You're up, followed by Bruce E.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for your service, Kathleen and Team Friday. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. And thank you for that bit of history. 82 years tomorrow. Wow. All right, so here we go. I love Bill's words. We have traveled this dubious path, beg you to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. We have learned whatever human frailties of various faiths may be. Okay, so I was born into an organized religion. I believed, I followed that dedicatedly for most of my life. It was a black and white. It was a lot of it was out of fear, but it served its purpose. And then when I started having children, two out of the first three were born with physical challenges. So when I was pregnant with the fourth child, I challenged God, you know, that I wanted a baby that didn't have these physical challenges, and that didn't happen. And so then I got angry at God. I still continued my church going, but then I got angry at God. And then I had a fifth child, and again, did another challenge, and that didn't work. And so with that, I left this organized religion and went on a searching thing. And I read, and I think it's in the 12 and 12, about we can't see the forest for the trees or the tree, whatever it was. And yeah, I couldn't see the beauty of the forest for the trees. And so slowly, and I really believe that the 12-step program helped me find a God of my understanding, a higher power, a more loving, compassionate, and kind. And I realized that my children are here to really be role models for others of how well they live their lives and how sane and centered they are. And, you know, they help me more than I help them. And so that's really been something. I have just dropped all my cynical dissecting of the church, and I just accept what works for me. And I let go of what doesn't work for me. And I have that degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness today as a recovered compulsive eater and a member of a faith tradition that works for me now. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo H. in California. And Bruce E., you are up, followed by Felicia. Good morning, Bruce.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody on the call. Great to follow the people I'm following here today and reading this tremendous book that I didn't even know what date it was. So right now, and I didn't know what date it was back then, but 4/10/39 it's published. So thank you for that information. And traveled this dubious path, beg you to lay aside prejudice. Against organized religion, people of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. demonstrating the degree of happiness and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves. Now, how about that one about where he says we should have sought ourselves? So he's looking back, he's thinking, geez, if I'd had some of this maybe, you know, earlier in my life, maybe I'd been a whole lot better off. Probably would have. Sure he would have. So looking back on my own life, watching my mother back in the 50s trudge through the snow in Rockford, Illinois, with her blue suede high-heeled shoes on and a blue dress, walking to church. And I stayed home. My mom, my brother stayed home. My dad stayed home. We wouldn't have any part of it, and she went. And looking back on her, she was the most stable person in the household. I mean, I didn't put it all together then. Now looking back on it, I do. That she had this spiritual experience or spiritual stability that I didn't have, and I didn't have it for another 20 years. So, and if I'd had it back then, like Bill's talking about, should have sought it, never thought to seek it. And I saw guys, you know, graduate from high school or drop out of high school and go to work in the factories there, which we had a lot of, and get a good job and do well, buy a nice car, get married, have kids, stay home. You know, and the rest of us guys, we're out carousing, running around, getting in all this trouble and having all these problems and getting addicted. So, excuse me, they were better off than we were. And I had to spend this 20 years of agony and pain before I came around to the point where in the addiction itself drove me, the food addiction drove me back into it. I mean into the spiritual part of things, the pain of life, the pain of the addictions drove me back to some of my roots, my spiritual roots that my mother had sowed in me way back when I saw that example that she set. And the example the other guys were setting by staying home and, you know, not going out there and becoming addicts. You know, they were doing well. So at a certain point in time, you know, there was just so much pain that I had to, I just couldn't stay in that pain or I'd die. And I turned back and I turned to the God of my awakening, God that I had experienced like Bill had in the hospital room, and turned the whole thing around. And man, I am so much better today than I was then. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. And I think I my timer stopped, so I was guessing on you, so sorry. Guessing on the time there. Okay, Felicia, you are up, followed by Annabelle Z. And Felicia, what's the first initial of your last name?
D as in door.
Okay, great. Thanks, Felicia. Go ahead, Felicia.
My name is Felicia. I'm a compulsive overeater from Rhode Island. And we beg of you to lay aside prejudice. I definitely had prejudice against organized religion, but I had prejudice against people of faith in the program, you know. And then it says people of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Like, I just thought it was so over the top, the whole spiritual part of the program, which clearly I was like missing so much of it, right? Like, it is everything to do with spirituality. But in my mind, I was just thinking, like, my life is going to be boring and that's not how I want to live. And so they went along in life as I came and went, and they had this logical idea of what life was about, and they had sanity around food and sanity around their other addictions. And I had drama, and I had weight gain, and I had all these awful feelings and no real strong ability to do something about it. So I'm so grateful that even though I came in and had prejudice, and at the time initially when I first got here, I wasn't able to get past the prejudice. I think I was looking for it. I was looking for whenever people would make a mistake. And instead of focusing on that they may do it, you know, step 10 and make amends, I would focus on that they weren't perfect and they made a mistake. But that because of my illness, it forced me to continue to come back, and I could see that people were getting better and see that people were shining and were happy. And that's really what I want to be. I want to be happy. And I can now see that a spiritual path is the way to happiness, not just that I will be able to have sanity around food, but to have real, true happiness and not like the highs and lows of a drama-based life, which is kind of like what I grew up in and I was my normal. So I'm so grateful that we can, even if we don't get this the first time, we can, our eyes can be open and we can see it, and I'm no longer blind. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Felicia D. And Annabelle Z, you're up, followed by Dan B. And if you both take about 2 minutes, we can get you both in. So go ahead, please, Annabelle Z.
Hi, my name is Annabelle Z from Washington. I'm a compulsive overeater and anorexia Kimberly, that's recovered. It's so good to be on the line today. I've been on vacation and could not call in as much as I tried. It would just leave me some Mexican message. So I just love this fellowship. And as far as the paragraph we read goes, the part about the stability and usefulness that I see in spiritually minded people, that goes for just about any religion and any spiritual practice, you know, organized religion or not. I did not grow up in religion. I found the 12-step program, a different 12-step program, when I was 20, and I've been in that program since then. I just did everything I could to try and find some kind of a spirituality and connection with the power greater than myself. And it worked, and it was great. But I was very useful. I practiced the 12th step a lot, and bringing meanings into treatment centers and such. But I did discover an organized religion when I was 32 through my husband, and I got really involved in that. And I just happened to land in a particular church that was very useful, and their idea was to love on the community, and honestly, I didn't get it, even though I'd been in 12 steps for a long time, And it wasn't until I was 50, 18, 19 years in that religion, that my higher power said, you need to go to AA. I mean, it was like my religion that sent me, like my God that I had in that religion sent me to OA. It was just clear as day. He's like, you need to go to OA. And that was October 9th of 2020. And so I've been listening to Vision ever since, and I'm more useful than ever, more stable than ever. I have my ups and downs, but this program works. So keep coming back if you're new, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Annabelle Z in Washington. And Diane B in California, you have about a minute and a half. Are you okay with that?
Yeah. This is Diane B from California. So grateful to be here today, and bless you today, Kathleen. Okay, so people of faith have a logical idea of what life is about. I believe that God is perfect and knows what is best for me. And he schools me in a direction and hands me challenges in this life so that I can grow the way he would have me grow. Where the problem comes in is when the human element of religion try to organize and administer a way to worship God, that human element is imperfect. But when I look in faith to God and his perfection, the peace comes in my life. OA helps me to have that faith and to clean up my part of the human element that is so imperfect in this life. I'm so grateful for the 12 steps and the ability and way to keep my end and my side of the street clean so that others can see God the way God would have them see him. And I'm just so grateful for this program and hope you all have a great day. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane B. in California. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to Team Friday, Branson, Carol F., Betsy H., Julie E.B., Sherry K.B., Lois P., Robin P., and Nadia B. Thank you so much for making this meeting run smoothly. And Julie E.B., if you would please read A Vision for You on page 164, and then we will follow with the Serenity Prayer.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I am privileged to be a part of this meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will continue to disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.